Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 564 for Thursday, May the 30th, 1806. That's a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, winning the game, and given where the gold's going lately, I think it's time to start hoarding bottle caps and replaying some certain video games as training. Tonight, we have a madman. Madman, how much do you think it costs to build a bunker in the backyard?
Are we going with bottle caps or gold?
In bottle caps, why not?
We're going to go with billions of those. Gold, probably a few nice-sized bricks.
So are you... I'm going to need some lead bricks and some spray paint.
Although, instead of bunker in the backyard... I say we get together a bunch of ammunition, canned goods, and some firearms. And I saw this nice place in Florida that was built for JFK. It's not kind of a tourist trap, but it is a bunker designed to survive a near nuclear blast.
Just go and just go appropriate it.
Kind of squat there, you know, claim it, then wait to be evicted.
Make them go through the 3-month eviction process.
And there's some nice little chunk points, so even after the eviction, I think we can hold out for a while. Especially if we get the blast doors closed.
Oh, hell. Alright, what's up, are you?
I just can't believe you two aren't trusting the 36 Double D plan going on. 2 more weeks, man. It's just 2 more weeks. Trust the plan.
Isn't that what the Q shaman used to say? Was trust the plan?
It did not work out well
for that man.
Oh, it did. He got a massive payout in the end.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's out of prison, dude. Oh. Got overturned.
Good for him.
Yeah, Q shaman. That was one of Tucker's last big stories before he was yeeted off air.
Oh.
Yeah, he was instrumental in getting the Q shaman out of prison.
Oh, good for him. I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently the prosecution hid away all sorts of videotape and shit of him doing fuck all. So, yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't got a book out or something. Then again, you
may
just
not be literate.
I just get the fuck out of there, dude. Shut up and go live my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You fucking dodged a bullet because you're a dude sitting in prison for 20 years for nothing.
Nah, I want to see him running for Congress because I want to see him showing up to Congress in that outfit daily. See him sitting next to AOC in Congress?
That guy was amazing. He's just a professional agitator. Because he was playing both sides of the fence. He was with the Antifa people during the riots.
Yeah.
And he was with the J6s during the protest.
He didn't actually care. He was just looking for a good time, it sounds to me.
Yeah, he's just an equal opportunity fucking protester, man. He just loved a good fucking street riot.
So. Oh, great. My phone's going to be going off all night. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, so I guess we'll get into it here. I'm not flagging one of these stories for discussion. I don't have a lot of good stories for tonight, so it's just...
It's been a very light week. Certain individuals have sucked the air out of the conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Cycross did send me a whole bunch of stuff on the BBS, but I haven't had a chance to go through it yet, so I'll get that in. It's just been nuts the past few year for me. So anyways, I guess get into it here. First article is from Ars Technica. U.S. sanctions operators of, quote, free VPN, unquote, that route crime traffic through users' PCs. I love it. I want to see the
definition of crime.
That's fair. But if you're not paying for it, you're the product thing. In this case, quite literally, because they were just, you know, it's like, okay, well, you connect to the VPN and we're going to route traffic back through you. I can't blame them, but shit. Don't use these free VPNs, people. Seriously. If you don't know what you're doing, stay away from them. If you know what you're doing, I'm going to assume you know what you're doing, but you probably don't. Alhazard. Oh, hi, Moops. Yes, finally got into the IRC. I don't know what was going on there. We do have an Alhazard in the IRC tonight. We also have Psychros, myself, Sardonyx, and she. So, yeah, that's been less and less reliable. I don't know whether it's the little agent we use on the website, LibreChat, or if it's just their networks are overloaded, but I don't have a hell of a time getting in the IRC anymore. The U.S. Treasury Department has sanctioned 3 Chinese nationals for their involvement in a VPN-powered botnet with more than 19 million residential IP addresses they rented out to cybercriminals to obfuscate their illegal activities, including COVID-19 AIDS scams and bomb threats. So these are some real high-quality individuals here. The criminal enterprise... the Treasury Department said Tuesday, was a residential proxy service known as 911S5. Such services provide a bank of IP addresses belonging to everyday home users for customers to route internet connections through. When accessing a website or other internet service, the connection appears to originate with the home user. In 2022, researchers at the University of Sherbrooke profiled 911.re, a service that appeared to be an earlier version of 911S5. At the time, its infrastructure comprised 120,000 residential IP addresses. This pool was created using one of 2 free VPNs, Mask VPN and Do VPN, marketed to end users. Besides acting as a legitimate VPN, the software also operated as a botnet that covertly turned users' devices into a proxy server. The complex structure was designed with the intent of making the botnet hard to reverse engineer. Mask VPN and Do VPN connected devices to the type of server legitimate VPNs used to obfuscate the originating IP and route traffic through an encrypted tunnel. At the same time, hidden functionality established a permanent TCP socket to a botnet command and control server. University of Sherbrooke researchers wrote, quote, "This TCP connection is made to the C2 servers of the 911.re backend infrastructure and renders the node available for connections through the 911.re interface. A heartbeat process is in place to ensure the node is listed as available. At no time, there is a direct connection between the infected node and 911.payee and the 911.re paid subscriber, even when the node is selected. All traffic passes through. All the network traffic is always routed between the C2 servers that are USA-backed, reducing the risk of anomaly detection by IDS or IPS systems. Mask VPN and Do VPN are using custom implementation of open-source OpenVPN." What'd Psychros say here? "Hold U.S.-Chinese Cold War-era warfare is insane." Yeah, American LiDAR. "Chinese military complex shell company operated in the U.S., flagged as a security risk." Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know, they've spun up tons of little shell companies and crap like that. The research led to an investigation by Crimson Security that uncovered Wang Wai of Beijing, I don't know how to say these names, as a, yeah, I'm going to get one of those AI voice things so I can copy and paste these names in. of Beijing is one of the individuals who registered the domains used by the 911.re infrastructure. Wang was one of 3 people sanctioned on Tuesday. Treasury officials said that Wang was registered subscriber of the services used by both 911S5 and the Mask and Do VPN operations, an indication they were relying on some of the same resources, reporter Brian Krebs did. They also named Zhijing Liu as a co-conspirator for allegedly helping Wang launder virtual currency, and other proceeds generated from 911 S5 Enterprise. The officials further named Yanni Xing for allegedly acting under the power of attorney for Wang and participating in business transactions and making purchases and payments on Wang's behalf, including a luxury beachfront condominium in Thailand. So I'm going to stop reading this for just a second and ask a potentially very racist question. Given the number of times we see the same names over and over and over again out of China, how do you tell them apart? How do you know that you have the right Wang when you're...
See if they have measurements next to their name?
I mean, seriously, I mean, if everybody has variations on the same names, I mean, it's almost like Black Block. How do you tell them apart?
I'm going to go with they probably have something like a social security number, and you find, oh, this is the Wang that lives at this address and has this party ID number. We're going after Wang 99753.
That's probably a more legitimate answer than some of the silliness I was thinking.
So. Or we can go with Wang of this girth and length.
Quote, these individuals leveraged their malicious botnet technology to compromise personal devices, enabling cyber criminals to fraudulently secure economic assistance intended for those in need and to terrorize our citizens with bomb threats, unquote, said the Undersecretary Brian E. Nelson. Quote, Treasury, in close coordination with our law enforcement colleagues and international partners, will continue to take action to disrupt cyber criminals and other illicit actors who seek to steal from U.S. taxpayers, unquote. The Treasury officials also sanctioned three Thailand-based businesses, Spicy Code Company Limited, which purchased additional real estate for properties for Wang, and Tulip Biz Pattaya Group Company Limited, and Lily Sweets Company Limited, both of which were purchased by Wang. The officials said the 911 S5 botnet comprised roughly 19 million IP addresses. Criminals used it in the tens of thousands of fraudulent applications. Related to coronavirus release scams, and it resulted in the loss of billions of dollars to the U.S. government. The IP addresses compromised by the service were also linked to a series of bomb threats made throughout the United States in July of 2022. Under the designations, all property of individuals and businesses located in the U.S. or in the possession and control of U.S. persons must be blocked and reported to the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control. The sanctions also prohibit dealings by anyone in the U.S. involving any of the blocked property. People who run afoul of the sanctions may themselves be exposed to designation. Tuesday's actions come 6 days after researchers from Google-owned security firm Mandiant said that the use by China Nexus threat actors of residential proxy networks, known as operational relay boxes, box networks, were hindering traditional means of tracking and defending against cyber attacks. Mandiant researchers urged defenders to adopt new approaches. And unfortunately, you can't trust geoblocks anymore because of all this shit is, unfortunately, you can't just go, okay, block China. Cause yeah, I mean, and you know, it's not just this handful of free VPNs doing this. There's thousands of these things. They're all based on variations of OpenVPN. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me in the least that they're doing this. That's actually why I wanted to start with the story, is it's like, okay, if you don't know what the free VPN is doing to make money, they're being funded somehow, because servers, you know, cost money. So they're either selling your data or doing shit like this, or both.
Then I'd almost rather them sell my data. Some of these people had to go through shit getting investigated.
Probably.
We have all this crap coming from your IP address. What were you doing Tuesday? What Tuesday? Because, you know, it's not like last Tuesday. What were you doing Tuesday, July 30th of last year? I don't know. Beating off in the corner? I mean, who knows? It's been years.
At that point, they'll say, okay, we're confiscating all your devices. Then they'll see the free VPN and they'll eventually work it out. But yeah, it's one of these things where it's like, well, if you're not paying for it, you're the product. And in this case, I mean, yeah, free VPN. I see a lot of people going for that stuff, no matter how much you tell them they shouldn't. Because you got all those ads on YouTube telling you how important it is a VPN, you know, to use a VPN so you can watch your Netflix from the wrong country, or fuck, I don't know. What else do they promise these things do? Shave your balls and tickle your... Anyways.
It's pretty much watching different television services. Like, you can get a lot of stuff from Britain for free if you're a British citizen because of that television tax. But citizens don't get it. So if I flip over and say I'm Britain, I can watch the newest Doctor Who. I don't know why I would want to do that.
Look, this day gets funnier and funnier.
But point being that, you know, they make such a big deal. Oh, you got to have a VPN these days, which if you're not using like public Wi-Fi that you don't trust, I don't think you really need a VPN for your home networks. They always make a big deal about that in some of these ads, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. Do they have a trans doctor yet? Cycross, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it wasn't a trans doctor. It was the companion's daughter was trans. Fuck that shit.
Oh, the Doctor Who reference. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I think the current one is supposed to be, like, very gay. I don't know. And, I watched a couple of it with the group a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember much of it. I just remember thinking, this is dumb.
I just want to distance myself from that group. I was not in it.
Yes, no, it was no nobody on the regular team, on the regular G15 stuff. Different group. I was trying to meet people in the real world. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyways,
Oh, dude, if you want to watch Decent Who, don't go past 2010.
So, anyways, next article is from thestatesman.com. Ticketmaster data breach. 560 million users' information is allegedly for sale. Multiple reports have claimed that Ticketmaster was hacked by the notorious hacking group Shiny Hunters. The data breach has compromised 560 million users. According to HackRead, the data is being offered for sale on breach forums for a one-time sale of $500,000. So, according to HackRead, Shiny Hunters has allegedly accessed sensitive user information, including full name, address, email address, phone number, ticket sales, event details, order information, and credit card data. There it is. If you have bought anything from Ticketmaster ever, your credit card data is probably in this breach.
That's why you don't have them save your shit. Never have Ticketmaster save your shit.
You do know these websites usually do it anyways, even if you tell them not to.
Don't break my worldview. Luckily for me, the number they have is no longer accurate for my...
There's a couple of different ones. The privacy is one I've used that let you generate the one-time use credit card numbers. Those are really good. Those are really good to use for stuff like this. Other details include 4 digits of card numbers and expiration dates. Ticketmaster and its parent company, Live Nation, haven't confirmed the security yet, or the breach yet. According to Wired, Shiny Hunters is a cybercriminal group of unknown origin that is motivated by financial gain. The group is known for its sophisticated attacks against a wide range of targets, including businesses, organizations, and government agencies. The group made waves in 2020 after a series of notable data breaches. On May 2nd of 2020, Tokopedia was breached by Shiny Hunters, which claimed to have data for 91 million user accounts, including users' gender, location, name, full name, username, email address, phone number, and hashed passwords. In May of 2020, Shiner Hunters also claimed to have stolen over 500 gigabytes of Microsoft source code. They got into Mashable and apparently pulled 5.2 gigabytes of data from their database And apparently in 2021, they got into AT&T Wireless and getting phone numbers, personal information, and social. So these guys have a way of getting in. On January 26, 2023, the company acknowledged that a bot-driven attack had disrupted ticket sales for Taylor Swift concerts, exposing weaknesses in their ticketing system. Additionally, in January of 2021, Ticketmaster was found guilty of hacking into Songkick, a rival company, to access confidential information. This legal activity resulted in a $10 million settlement paid to Songkick. USA Today reported that the U.S. Justice Department, along with 19 states and the District of Columbia, filed a lawsuit against Live Nation Entertainment, the parent company of Ticketmaster. Lawsuit alleges the company has monopolized the live events industry, which is true. It aims to reduce ticket prices for fans and provide greater access to venues for more musicians. I don't think that will happen. I do think that Ticketmaster is easily a monopoly because they're basically anything for doing concerts these days. But I don't think reducing, you know, Ticketmaster down or splitting them up or anything is going to do anything for ticket sales, because even if you have multiple agencies to select from to get tickets, it's still going to be on a, you know, venue agreement basis. So to be like, okay, this venue does their tickets through Ticketmaster. This one does it through hypothetical third-party company split off from Ticketmaster. This one does it through a different one. So it's not like you're going to be competing. You're not going to have people competing to sell tickets at lower prices, because it's still going to be by venue, and venues, you know, still have limited seats. So I don't think you're going to see a significant reduction in price, even if you break up Ticketmaster, unfortunately. I'd love to be wrong about that, but I don't see it happening.
So you're saying Ticketmaster is more of a natural monopoly, and it doesn't matter what it does?
I don't know that it's a natural monopoly. I think you could have multiple agencies competing for venues business, but the only venue thing itself
that'd be competitive, the only thing they'd be competitive on is their pricing on their services.
Yeah, split with the venue and fees and things like that.
Yeah, like you're only going to compete on service price. Like ticket price is going to stay the same no matter what.
So, I don't. I don't know that it's a natural monopoly, because I could see, again, you could see multiple providers here, but I think the individual venues are still going to be priced as they're priced. Sure, Ticketmaster lops tons of fees on top of their stuff, and maybe you'll see that go down if there's competition, because if enough people complain to a venue, that venue might switch to a different provider for the next round of tickets. But, you're not going to have two different ticket agents selling tickets to the same concerts. At least I would not expect that to be the way that goes down. I would expect it to be, some kind of an exclusivity agreement. Sort of like you see with payment processors, right? It's like, you go into a grocery store, they'll have a couple of different payment processors, but they're going to be done by type. You know, they'll use one company for their credit card processing. They'll probably use a different one for checks. And of course, cash they'll just do in-house, and then probably have a, armored truck, a Brinks or something to take it to a bank, end of the night kind of thing. But you're not going to see three credit card, processors in one store. And when you swipe your card, it's not going to say, which one do you want to use? It's just going to be that store's going to have an agreement with whatever credit card. I don't know. Am I explaining what I'm thinking here? Well,
I hear what you're saying.
I just don't see it being like multiple venues competing with multiple, or one venue with multiple agents competing on ticket price. I just don't see that playing out that way.
Well, I would see it working similar to the credit card venue, as the stores take bids every so often on who they're going to go business with.
Oh yeah, I see
and
that.
Whatever
yeah.
goes down the lowest is the one they do business with.
Yeah, no, absolutely that. I just don't see it helping the consumer out much, because maybe they'll see a reduction in all the processing fees for these things, but not on the actual ticket prices themselves. I mean, if I'm wrong, Madman, I'm what do you think?
Well, the only thing Ticketmaster has control over is the fees. So that's the only thing that you're fighting over. So, yeah, you're saying the only thing Ticketmaster controls is the only thing that would go down.
No, okay.
Can't argue with that.
I mean, that's the only thing I see potentially happening. But like you were talking about with the bidding process of what processor to go with, I think you would see things like that happen every once in a while, sure.
Yes.
But I don't think you would see three different agents selling tickets to a same concert.
I couldn't see that because they would have to all have access to all of their own tickets, I think.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, you're given a set lot of tickets to each one of these venues, but then you're risking which one's not going to sell out because there would be no, well, there wouldn't be much of a reason for them to let another ticketing agent sell their tickets. Like if Ticketmaster for some reason isn't getting the sales, and I don't know, Madman's ticket supplier is getting sales. I don't see Ticketmaster subletting me their tickets.
Well, so, and what would you do? Like have the you know, front row seats, the pit seats, things like that, you know, broken up by different agents. So if you're going to get the nosebleeds, you go to cheapassseats.com. And if you're going to get the really nice seats, you go to Ticketmaster. I don't know.
No, the only way that would work is if it was either random lots or just a certain percentage going to each ticket provider. If you had multiples,
you know, maybe like if it's a stadium, like sections. You know, sections B and D go to this one, D and F, or F and E go to a different one, that kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't see it happening because then you got to tell people, oh, well, if you want to sit here, you got to go to this one. If you want to sit here, you go to this other one. I don't see that happening. I just don't.
No, it would be the different venues just bidding out who's going to handle their tickets.
Yeah.
But that's not the biggest driver, I think, on prices these days. It's scalpers.
Yeah.
You've got to really break into the scalping market to bring down ticket sales. Because Ticketmaster, they'll sell to anyone any amount of tickets or whatever, but you'll have anyone that's like Taylor Swift concerts, you'll have scalpers go in, buy up shit tons of tickets, and then just throw them on the resale market.
Yeah.
Because they're going to sell. So if you want to get tickets, especially good ones, you're not paying the Ticketmaster markup, you're paying the scalper markup. So fighting that would be a bigger savings to people.
There you go. All right, next article. This one's from PCMag.com. U.S. will not impose tariffs on graphic cards from China for another year. The Biden administration will not impose tariffs on graphics cards and motherboards imported from China for another year. Last week, the U.S. Trade Representative indicated to PC Mag that it would maintain the Trump-era tariffs on PC components, which led PC Mag to misinterpret a federal document announcing the tariff action. A closer reading of the notice shows that the Biden administration will actually exclude GPUs and motherboards from the tariffs for another year until May 31st of 2020. Quote, the U.S. Trade Representative has found that exceeding these exclusions will support efforts to extending these exclusions will support efforts to shift outsourcing out of China or provide actual time where, despite efforts to source products from alternative sources, availability of the products outside of China remains limited. PC Mag learned of the tariff exclusion from motherboard vendor ASRock, quote, since we are a company selling PC motherboards and graphics cards, we're watching the new policy closely, unquote. Company sent an email, quote, what we knew from the release document and also the forwarder we worked with is that the graphics cards are excluded from tariffs until, you know, 2025. Reading federal notices on tariff actions can be tricky since I don't mention graphic cards, motherboards, or PC desktop cases specifically. Instead, the U.S. classifies the products using the tariff codes 8473.30.11, yeah, okay, numbers. You know, which define them as printed circuit assemblies and parts and accessories for automatic data processing machines. Yeah, that sounds like government shit. Anyways, so yeah, they're excluding PC parts from the tariffs for another year. Other products, including air fryers, certain color video cameras, select bicycle models, will not be excluded from Trump-era tariffs. Specifically, the Biden administration also decided to hike import fees on Chinese steel and aluminum, semiconductors, electric vehicles, EV batteries, and solar panels. So that's interesting. So, considering I don't think we've gotten any chip fabs that can assemble these things spun up anywhere else yet, it's not all that surprising that they're excluding these things from the tariffs because they're already stupid expensive. But if you are thinking new graphics card, you know, maybe pick it up before a year from now because tariff is going to go in place and get an automatic price hike. Or they'll extend it again.
They'll extend it again.
Okay. Madman, nothing on that?
Oh, I just love the certain colors of cameras. Not certain types.
Certain color cameras. We only hate the cameras.
Red ones because they're no. Commie.
Yeah, okay. I get what you're saying, but no, they meant color cameras. Certain color cameras. Okay. As opposed to the black and white ones, because everybody, you know, those are so popular. Oh, hell. Next article is from techradar.com. Apple says it will put its AI processing data in a, quote, cloud black box, unquote, to keep it private. Okay. I think they're just stringing words together, potentially from one of those AI generators. With many other top firms going all in on AI technology, the industry is still preparing for Apple's somewhat delayed entry into the AI market. Apple is expected to reveal a comprehensive AI strategy as part of its upcoming iOS and macOS updates at WWDC 24, and it's likely the company may turn to cloud processing to handle the data. Having traditionally emphasized on-device processing to protect user privacy, a report by The Information has detailed how the company could use, quote, black box processing, unquote, to maintain security while using online services. Typically, cloud services encrypt data when stored, but in order to process the data, it has to be decrypted. iCloud already uses a mix of in-transit, on-server, and end-to-end encryption across its services, depending on the level of protection the users choose. Apple's solution for upcoming AI services, says The Information, is to upscale its secure enclave technology, which isolates sensitive data in order to enable private processing in the cloud. The approach looks to be linked to the Apple Chips in Data Centers project, a project that will see Apple develop its own chips to run AI services in data centers. The Confidential Compute Initiative, reportedly in development for over 3 years, aligns with Apple's vision to create lightweight devices that rely on cloud processing to help reduce the on-device load. This could reduce hardware requirements for future products, enhancing their portability and even reducing costs. Recent reports indicate the company has been rolling out M2 Ultra chips across its cloud infrastructure with plans to upgrade to M4 on the horizon. In years gone by, Apple has been criticized for slightly underwhelming summer events with software updates lacking some of the features from other platforms. Recent AI boom has added to that sentiment. Okay. So, notice what's not in there. Any details of how it's a black box cloud? Just, we're going to separate out the private data and put it in an enclave. Cool. How are you managing the keys? How are you encrypting the data in transit and at rest? How are you doing?
Shut up. That's what they're saying in the background. Shut up.
Do I get my own server?
God, no.
Do I get my own chip on the server?
No.
Do I get my own platter on the hard drive?
No.
They're just here to harvest you for data. You are a data whore. Understand that.
I wouldn't mind seeing an actual write-up of how they plan on doing a secure enclave in the cloud, because if it's end-to-end encryption, you can't process it in the cloud because it's all encrypted. So they've got to have keys somewhere. So I'd like to see how they're planning on doing it. But if they've got keys somewhere, well, you know,
it's not secure, is it?
Well, it's
there's me, them, and whoever I want to see it. Yeah, all have keys.
Yeah, it's however those keys are stored and managed, which is what I would want to see, because there are ways of doing the whole managed key that nothing's perfect, but are better than some. The one of the better ones is to store the keys on the user's device so that for the cloud to access it, you have to go back to the user's device and ask for permission. But this requires that the software on the device does that in a way that's not stupid. If it just automatically gives Apple permission every time, then you're not doing anything. But if they're stored on the device, you at least have the argument that if you say get a subpoena, you can say, well, we don't have those keys. That's on the phone. So there are ways to do that that aren't quite as bad. But yeah, once you're getting into, you know, having keys accessible on the cloud processing or multiple ways of storing it, you start opening up other avenues besides just straight up the owner of the data is the only one who can decrypt it, which is how it should be done in an ideal scenario. So, I mean, we could sit there and argue about how to properly do encryption for the next hour if you want.
I was just thinking, if it's stored on my PC, wouldn't we also, I don't know, need to give like a ticket number or a token to the request? So it's like, it's just for this request, not for every request Apple automatically sends to me.
Theoretically, the idea would be that Apple doesn't store the key. If I was designing this, I would design it such that the keys are never actually stored in the cloud on like disk. They'd be in memory because you have to. But the idea is you would, you know, transfer the data, encrypt it up. You would then have a different channel, whether that's a different connection or what, but you would have a different channel that you would then retrieve the key from the device for. And you would ideally want this to be a key that's time boxed, either for that specific job. So one way you might do it is you might have the data encrypted with a one-time use key, and then that key is provided to the cloud. And then when they're done with whatever processing, the result is re-encrypted with the same key and sent back. And then that key is destroyed and not used again by other device, things like that. That could be a way of doing something like this. But again, that's expensive and difficult and hard to get right. And it's much more likely that they're going to store the keys on the server so they can just use them and not have to generate new keys all the flipping time. So,
and then it's effectively not encrypted for them because they can look at it anytime they want.
Well, it's encrypted, but they have the key, so they can decrypt it on demand. If they want to for any particular reason, or if they're forced to by any governmental reason, yes. So, yeah, they're still
putting... Hopefully it's stored well, so at least if it's stolen, they don't steal the keys along with it.
Well, and that's the other problem, right? Is once you start introducing... Well, it's like the free VPN apps we were talking about at the beginning of the show. You know, if you have the new Windows thing, the recall, where it's recording the last 3 months of everything you do with screenshots and AI-generated databases, they don't even have to hack your machine if you're just installing stupid shit on the machine, right? So now they've potentially got another place of data to mine. So if Apple's generating yet another place to store your data, even if it's only in memory, I mean, again, I would want to see the specs of how they're actually doing this before I would criticize it too badly, because there's lots of ways to do it, and most of them aren't that good, but a couple of them are fine, or maybe not fine, but a couple of them are better than others, maybe is the best way to do it. I mean, none of them, they're not going to do the ideal. The ideal is your data is encrypted on your device, the key only exists on your device, and even if the data leaves your device, you can't get the key without user intervention, like asking the user, I want your key, will you give it to me, kind of thing. They're not going to do that because it would mean prompting the user all the effing time, and they don't want to do that. So, not to mention, it's hard to get that stuff right without creating loopholes, man in the middle. I mean, SSL has been trying for years. They're up to TLS 1.4. How long has it been? 20-some-odd years that we've been trying to get SSL right? So, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just unlikely that they won't have issues with it. So I really want to see implementation before I get too crazy into the criticism, but anyways. Next up, it's from Android Police. YouTube has now begun skipping videos altogether for users with ad blockers. So they're really going to town with their ad block fight. Google-owned YouTube succeeded in shutting down a popular third-party YouTube Vanced app back in 2022 to encourage more users to pay and join YouTube Premium if they're looking for ad-free experiences. In the subsequent year, the streaming platform declared war against ad blockers and showed that it had an Uno reverse card up its sleeve when it started testing blocking ad blockers. 2023, when users reported being unable to play YouTube videos if the platform detected an ad blocker, paired with the platform giving users three strikes or three videos where ad blockers were allowed to function, after which playback would become unavailable. Fast forward to January 2024, and the streaming platform was reportedly testing slowing down video load times for users with ad blockers enabled. Now, likely as part of a new test, YouTube users with ad blockers installed are reporting videos are skipping straight to the end upon playback. So they're just fucking with them at this point. It's just like, we're just going to troll them. As shared by 9to5 Google, video playback resumes to normal when the ad blocker is disabled. Some users on Reddit have also reported no audio in YouTube videos when using ad blocker, while others said their videos get stuck when loading. Again, these problems disappear when the user disables the ad blocker. Reddit user SDHD4K showed what... Okay, so yeah, they got a video here showing it where somebody tries to play a Gamer's Nexus video. It loads slowly, starts to play, and then just, yeah, goes to the end and throws all the cards up. Quote, there's no sound whenever I use an ad blocker on YouTube. You can adjust the volume slider for a second, then it goes mute again. Unquote. User FreeManHL2 on the Reddit thread, while user Vampire Hedgehog wrote, quote, oh my god, this is happening to me too. It's so annoying. I can't figure out what's wrong. At least I'm not the only one having this problem. Unquote. The streaming platform is committed to its ad-supported revenue model and wants to ensure that the only way you don't see ads is by opting for a premium membership. However, adamant users have found workarounds. Some users on the above-mentioned Reddit thread indicate that using extensions such as uBlock Origin still work as intended. While other users have resorted to plugins like Ad Speed Up, that automatically speeds up on ads on YouTube by 16 times. That's an interesting way to do it. Let it play the ad, just, you know, speed it up. That's kind of fun. Alternately, users have also found using a VPN setting your location to Albania will allow you to avoid YouTube ads. This is likely because YouTube's ad platform doesn't support the Albanian language yet. They tested it and found the loophole to be working on both mobile and desktop. Again, don't use the free VPNs. Like, go, like, find a reputable one. So, I don't fucking know at this point. I mean, I'm not surprised. You've been seeing more and more of these websites saying, oh, if you don't disable your ad blocker, we're going to call you mean and not let you read this article. So, what's really funny is when you get that on a machine that, you know, you're not running an ad blocker on, then I remember, oh yeah, I've got controls in my network that are probably messing with it. But, that's the frustrating thing is when you've got stuff at a network level that, like in a corporate environment, they can't turn it off. So great. You're just, you know, making your website give me less reasons to use your site. Just like anymore, when I hit one of these pages, like, oh, you can't use us unless you disable your ad blocker. It's like, well, fuck you then. And I just close the page.
Yeah, you're not the only game in town. YouTube needs to understand that they're not the only game in town anymore.
No, they don't know that yet.
Like Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, there's a heap that are just as good, if not better, with better content.
And until they see a hit in their bottom line, they're not going to care.
Oh, I know, because YouTube's default to the average person.
Yep, and...
It's probably been half a lifetime for you, Morps, if you've been around a normie using a laptop and you just get frustrated with them because they're just using Microsoft Edge, no fucking controls. There's pop-ups everywhere. You're seeing every ad shit's playing in the background. It's a nightmare. I'm going to have to teach some nieces and nephews how to computer.
What drives me up the wall is when you see that family member who, you know, you want to help them, you want to show them the easier way to do things because they have worked out the most asinine way of getting around their computer, mostly by opening up, well, it's not Microsoft Word because I put OpenOffice on their machine, but opening up the LibreOffice launcher and then using that to open whatever file they want, even if it's not in LibreOffice. It's just like, oh, wow.
Yeah, or watching them open multiple windows instead of just, you know, clicking another tab open.
And it's like, you know, you want to help them, but at the same time, they're old and that's how they figured out how to use the machine and you're just going to confuse them. I kind of hit the point I gave up with a couple of family members. I'm just like, you know what? If it works for you, keep going. It's fine.
Well, see, I'm going to try and snatch them when they're young, see? Teach them quick. I blew them away when I showed them ad blocking on YouTube. They thought I was this first coming of like Neo, the one.
Well, next we should show them that trick where you can stop bullets with your mind because it works so well. Why is he laying on the ground crying? Well, because he wasn't concentrating.
They'd never even conceived that you could block ads. Like, it was just mind-blowing. And I'm like, you're 16 years old. Why are you not a natural-born hacker by now?
It's because schools don't teach computers. They teach Windows.
Okay, so that same group we were talking about Doctor Who with, one of them is a teacher, and they're going in for their technology certificate so they can teach the basic computer classes. And I said to him, I said, you know what you ought to do? And he had the same reaction you guys do. And he said, oh God, no, what? And I said, you should be teaching them starting on something like a Commodore 64 or an Apple II or something where you actually had to interact with the hardware and understand what it was doing to use anything on it. So you actually...
Look, I'd do a basic introduction to that, but move on to modern systems pretty quickly.
Well, eventually. But yeah, I mean, I want them because there's like three layers between you and the hardware on the Commodore. There's like 20 on a modern computer.
Well, just if they can even change the fucking volume, okay, without touching the fucking the volume mix on their laptop.
Yeah, but the reason I use the Commodore as the example is, one, it's the one I know, but two, you can peek and poke values directly into memory to interact with the chips or to read memory.
Yeah, but the average person doesn't want to go that deep, Morps. And you're going to lose them really quickly.
You don't need to go that deep for long, just long enough to understand what's going on under the hood before you show them more modern systems. I mean, otherwise they open the thing up.
That off air.
Otherwise they, when, you know, never mind.
The argument will go too long. We'll do it off air.
I'm just worried that we're going to get to a generation of people that think they're magic because when they open the thing up to try to figure out how it works, they see glyphs on the inside of the magic rocks. And nobody knows how they work anymore. Nobody knows how to make them anymore because God help us.
Yeah, I think we're already there.
Well, so when do we start sacrificing engineers to the machine god?
We're there at this point, it's easily undone. Because we still have many, many people that know how it works. I think we're trying to avoid the... Do you know how to take a cucumber and then use it to make other cucumbers? Because I don't know how many people know how to actually get seeds from a plant and then plant them and know that's where your food comes from.
You know the joke...
Many people know that food comes from a grocery store.
Yeah, like RU's government. Well, it's like the joke in Idiocracy of where does water come from?
Out of a tap.
The toilet. It's like you should put water on your crops. You mean like from the toilet? Yes! That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, you're wasting your time, Morph. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
I don't want to ride all the way down to hell. I mean, I'll be laughing too, but come on.
Get a window seat. Grab some popcorn.
Can we at least try not to get on the bus? I realize Madman's driving, but I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, man, your luggage is already on.
Why did you steal my luggage? Next one up is from The Verge. ICQ is shutting down after 28 years. I should have put the ICQ sound on the soundboard. I did not. Your ICQ number is finally shuffling off to the great beyond. Russian company VK, which had been the service's steward since 2010, published a message Friday that simply reads, ICQ will stop working from June 26th, and implores users to switch to its other chat solutions. ICQ was among the crop of early instant messenger services like AOL Instant Messenger, MSN Messenger, that allowed for real-time chats. It differed from others by assigning users a number that they would use to connect to one another, as opposed to aliases or email addresses. Also had uncommon features like SMS messaging and the ability to message people who were offline. And, of course, people of a certain age remember the uh-oh sound alert that would play when you received the message. ICQ was started in 1996 by Israeli company Mirabliss, which AOL bought in 1998. ICQ grew to 100 million registered users at one point, with at least, according to a 2001 release from Time Warner, which had combined with AOL in a famously dodgy merger. AOL sold the service to Digital Sky Technologies, the firm that owned VK, then known as Mail.ru, in 2010. The modern version of ICQ appears to have worked and functioned like other messenger apps like WhatsApp or Telegram, or so the author gathered from a March 2023 Internet Archive snapshot of its iOS App Store listing. The app is apparently gone from both Apple's digital shop and Play Store, the Google Play Store. It seems that ICQ has been done for some time. Perhaps VK is just making it official. So, I mean, honestly, kind of surprised it was still up. Hadn't thought about ICQ in a long time.
It was good back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. So,
I mean, there's nothing like getting, you know, 50, 60 unsolicited messages all day, every day.
So, but it's what we used before Skype, largely.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I don't know. Madman, I guess you have no nostalgia for ICQ, do you?
Nope.
You missed out, Madman.
I didn't do a lot of instant messaging. If I wanted to talk to somebody, I called them on the phone, and the extent of the conversation was, hey, I'm bored. Do you want to meet up? Wait, I'll be at your house in 10 minutes.
This does explain why you would ignore your PMs in games like World of Warcraft or the text chat in games.
Oh, yeah, it's because most of those people are retarded. If I wanted to talk to you, it'd be on TeamSpeak.
It was funny because we'd be sitting there messaging, Madman, Madman! It's like, he's not fucking reading his text messages. I know it's making noise at him.
No, it wasn't. I muted that shit.
Oh. What was the MMO?
I get a phone call from Balls like, I've been messaging you for an hour and a half. I'm being fucking ganked. Get out here and kill people for me.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so?
Okay. Is it Starsky and Hutch? Fuck Starsky and Hutch. I'll be there in a moment.
Good old Baron's chat. Last thing I have for tonight, it's not a dojo. Because this article's obviously just an ad for this thing. But it's funny. Sightful's Spacetop. The laptop with no screen that we saw demoed last year has entered commercial availability with the Spacetop G1. A faster, more polished version that will be available later this year for a relatively reasonable $1,900. The Spacetop uses a pair of augmented reality goggles, in this case a modified version of the X-Real Air 2 Pros, as a display interface, so that while the Spacetop G1 looks similar to the early access Spacetop that they went hands-on with, it's literally, it looks like the lower half of an ultrabook, and instead of a screen, it's just got a spot for these glasses, and when it's folded up closed, it looks hilarious, because it's like a big hump on the side of the keyboard. But they've got some concept art here of, you know, people using it, showing all the virtual windows. Anybody who's played with any of the VR headsets where you can, like, put different windows floating around you, it's that. But it's just built into the laptop, and the laptop does not have a screen. It just has the AR goggles. And I kind of think it looks like a commercial attempt at a Cyberdeck. So, I don't think it's... I think it's a little pricey at $2,000 for what it is, but... it's got an ARM chip in it, so it's a Qualcomm. I think it's running a version of Android, is what they said. Spacetop G1 looks like the early access, the squash burrito that unfolds to more conventional keyboard and workspace. The glasses pan smoothly about the virtual workspace, which was essentially Android at the time, and Windows apps weren't as smooth as a real PC. So that's what they were saying in the review. So yeah, it's basically an Android laptop, but it's got these X-Real displays And they were kind of comparing it to Apple's headset because Apple was basically advertising their headset would do the same thing. But this one's actually got a keyboard. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I don't recommend spending $2,000 on it, but I thought it was kind of fun.
Now, if they also toss on a screen, it might be a computer.
Well, it had, did it have ports on the side? And I think it's got a USB-C port on it, so you could probably, you know, go through a dongle or two and get a screen on it to use it like a regular computer. But anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Always, you know, listen to the stream, always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the BBS, and the IRC. Neurobash showed up, so that means in the IRC now we have Alhazard, Psychros, myself, Neurobash, Sardonyx, and she, Madman. Closing thoughts.
I'm going to go grab a fiddle so I can watch Rome burn.
Fair enough. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Considering it was 34 felony convictions or whatever it was, I was going to have a Rule 34 joke with Trump, but I just couldn't find anything that would stick.
Wait a minute. Isn't that if there's porn of it, if it exists, there's porn of it?
Now you're catching on, Madman.
Oh, God. And he was with a star. There's probably a videotape of that. No one needs to see that. Oh God, he's old and orange and fat.
Thanks to AI art, anything's possible now.
And that's where we nope out of the show.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Security, she's got a brick.